Hi, I'm WTOP Entertainment Editor Jason Fraley, and we are being joined by
Rebecca Medrano, Executive Director, Co-Founder of Gala Hispanic Theater.
And thanks so much for joining us. I wanted to talk about, some upcoming shows you have here, during this new world where there's not much theater going on. But first and foremost, I wanted to congratulate Gala Hispanic Theater for the Helen Hayes Awards a couple weeks ago.
Thank you. Thank you so much, Jason. We were very excited.
Yeah, remind our listeners, I know Little Shop of Horrors entered the night with the most total nominations with 11, but you guys upset them for Outstanding Musical, Helen, for Fame the Musical. How exciting was that to get Fame, all the recognition for Fame?
Oh my goodness, we're just overjoyed because it was a very large cast, a very big risk for us to take with such a large musical, but an extraordinary ensemble. And we were so happy we received the Outstanding Musical and the Outstanding Ensemble. I think it was, people were in tears, all of the cast. It was such a labor of love, and especially for Luis Salgado, the choreographer and director, who just brought this energy and love to the cast with a theme that, could be perceived to be old from the 50s, but it was very, very current, being there were a lot of race issues, a lot of issues about education and the whole interaction of these diverse artists. We even had somebody from Japan who was an extraordinary dancer in that ensemble. So it was incredibly exciting. We were very honored and thrilled. I know David Da Silva, who was the original creator of the show, actually traveled to see it when it was at Gala, and we let him know, and he was in tears because he's called Papa Fame. He's been the one who has persisted with performances of Fame, which interestingly enough had more success abroad as a theater piece than it did in the United States. It really never went to Broadway. It was off Broadway, and then of course you had the film and then the TV series, but it was very popular for many years throughout Latin America and Europe.
That's great. And of course, when you guys did Fame, that was obviously before the pandemic. How did the pandemic change everything for you all? Things started shutting down around March. Where were you in your, in your planning for either spring or summer season, and how did you decide, let's wait until, I guess October 29th is the next one.
Right. Well, it was very difficult. We opened one day of our children's show, which was commissioned about Rigoberto Menchú, who was the indigenous leader of Central America. So we had one performance and then we promptly closed. That's when the shutdown began. So we lost the whole second part of our season. And that's usually where we do our bigger shows. We had planned to do Tia Julia and Julia and the Scriptwriter, which is a wonderful play by Mario Vargas Llosa, the Nobel Prize writer from Peru. And then a musical, a tango musical, in which people were going to actually dance at the end of the show, imagine. So that became impossible. We shut down in March, and we've been doing nothing but preparing and getting ready to try to reopen. We did a summer program with the youth, which was part virtual, and a few kids were allowed to come in. Very strict regulation, keeping them all safe. But right now, we're just preparing to try to open for this pilot program and see how long, we can keep people safe and extend through the 22nd of November, hopefully. But we have to take it a week at a time. We used the summer when we were shuttered to actually renovate the entire theater. The timing was such that we were really very lucky, very blessed to have received a big city grant for renovation. And we proceeded to, because as you remember, construction was still considered an essential job. So construction workers were allowed under strict conditions. Again, we only had a few of them in at a time. So over the summer, we finished restoring that beautiful historic dome that many people know at Gala. If you don't, you should come see it. It's extraordinary, 1920s dome. We put in a new HVAC system with a MERV 14 filters, which are the highest end that capture particles down to 0.3 microns. So we're safer than a museum. It turns the air over six to eight times every hour. We deep cleaned all the seats. We replaced all the rugs. We painted. So we really have prepared to try to reopen. During this pilot program, we are only allowed to have 25 people in the audience because there can be a total of 50 in the space. And of course, you have to count the actors and the backstage and the staff. So anywhere from 25 to 30 tickets we will be able to sell for this first show. But for us, it's not about the money we're losing. It's about just getting back little by little to bring people back. I mean, we are the only Latino theater in the city. We are a place that's a cultural center for many people in our community. Our community has been hurt hard by this pandemic, and people are really wanting to go to some uplifting experience, even if it's with only, you know, 20 other people. At least you are seeing something, something live, and you have that very different energy than you have from the screen.
Oh, for sure. And tell me, so thanks for giving me the details with all the, you know, the pilot program and how you're coming back from COVID. But let's talk the fun part. Let's talk about the show you have planned. It's called, and make sure I get this right, El Perro del Hortelano.
Very good. Very good. The Dog in the Manger, which is by Lope de Vega, who was the master of the Spanish classical theater. He was, you could say, the Shakespeare of Spain, wrote just as many plays. And it is a comedy, and it is about class warfare. A duchess who really falls for her secretary, who's from a much, much lower class, very humble. And she can't have him, but she will not let him have anybody either. So it's that typical sort of the dog that won't eat but won't let anybody else eat. So that's where it comes from, that phrase, el perro de hortelano que come no deja comer. No come, no deja comer. But it is, we have reduced the cast from 24 to 7. We worked with a young Spanish playwright, really genius, Paco Gámez, who reduced the very longer classical play with many more characters to 7 characters. And some of the longer classical speeches were cut so it could be more accessible to our audiences here, younger audiences. It moves very quickly. It's very funny. There'll be a lot of gender bending as well, because with a small cast like that, women are playing men and men are playing women. So that adds to the comedy. There's a lot of fun moments. And as I say, it's a beautiful piece of Spanish literature as well. It's written in verse. We do have English subtitles, surtitles rather, and we will have English synopsis in the programs for everybody to be able to follow along.
And so that goes for all of the shows you do. There's
exactly.
It's in Spanish spoken, but you'll have English subtitles.
Absolutely. And
where do those subtitles appear? Is there like a screen off to the
side?
That's
why we call them surtitles. They're above. We call them circas. They're above the stage, but they're to the sides and they're low enough so that if you're sitting right in the center or even on the sides, you can just look up. There are 2 screens, one on each side, so it's pretty easy to follow along and at the same time see the action.
That's great. And did you just say a few seconds ago that you're the only theater in D.C. that has such a setup, you know, the only Spanish spoken?
Well, the Teatro de la Luna, which grew out of Gala, is a smaller theater. They don't have a space, so they do different kinds of work. But we are that really for the region. I mean, I think Gala is one of the oldest in the whole region and probably also within the United States. Gala and then Repertorio Español in New York. We share a lot in common with them. This will be our 45th anniversary opening up. When we started in D.C., there were only like 8 other theaters that long ago, 1976. Imagine, and now they're like over 90, I think, maybe even 100. So, you know, it's very different scenario, but we still have the same mission, the same purpose, and we still feel there's a tremendous need within our community to celebrate our culture and celebrate, you know, the literature. I mean, I don't know why everybody knows Shakespeare and people don't know Lope de Vega. I mean, it's really, and I always joke about this, but I think it's because the Spanish Armada was defeated. And so Spain didn't market any of their cultural riches the way England did, because you have a Shakespeare theater in Cuba, for example, and you have... There are Lope de Vega theaters, but, you know, he's not well known to the general English-speaking audience. Actually, the Shakespeare Theater here did do the same play years ago with an English adaptation by somebody in, I think, the Royal Theater of London.
You're talking about the Dog in the Manger. They did the same
thing. Dog in the Manger. They did do that many years ago, maybe 10 years ago, 10 or 12 years ago. I'll have to look at the date. But they did do the classical version of this. Ours is a streamlined version, a little more modern.
So that's one of the selling points here for our listeners. If they've never been there and everyone knows Shakespeare, but you need to know Lope de Vega, come check it out. Get your feet wet into what he has to offer.
Absolutely. And we're not talking about, filling the house. We're talking 25 souls. So get on it. Go to the website and www.galatheater.org and reserve now. Get your lucky 25 tickets.
Awesome. Well, thank you so much for joining us. Yeah, we encourage everyone to get out there, and congrats with the pilot program. And I know you're saying you're taking it one day at a time, but then, if things go well, I know you're planning something else for early December. It's a Fuego Flamenco Festival.
Absolutely. If things go well and the city opens up slowly, we will be doing our Fuego Flamenco, which is extremely popular. Edwin Aparicio, one of our curators who actually founded the festival, and it'll be a wonderful club with Omaida, who is another well-known flamenco gypsy dancer. So we'll keep you informed and stay tuned for that. It's exciting flamenco. If you've not been to one of those shows, it's really wonderful.
Great. And just in case we do have some other first timers that maybe have never been, remind us, where you are located. From what I remember, it's like over by like Mount Pleasant, Columbia Heights area, but why don't you say it so I can use the soundbite?
Okay. We are at 3333 14th Street, right at the corner of Park Road and 14th Street, across from the new mall, which has the Target and Best Buy. At any rate, we are smack in the middle of Columbia Heights next to the Giant. We do have parking, which is a well-kept secret. For $4, cheapest in town, you can stay the whole night. You go up to the Giant parking lot, you come around to the front of Gala, stamp your ticket, and you only pay $4 for unlimited time. So once the restaurants open up, and there's some great ones around us, you can, park and stay there for $4 and go out and eat and support the barrio. Come into our barrio. It's a lot of fun.
All right. Well, thanks so much for joining us. Again, everyone, it kicks off October 29th. Go check out Lope de Vega's El Perro del Hortelano. Thank you.
Thank you so much, Jason. It's been a delight. Have a great day.